My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Welcome to a new episode. Another week, another episode. Oh boy. My wife literally just told me before recording these as I was editing this episode about how much I say and I know I say a lot. And it's just like a language thing that I'm stuck on, and it's like the thing to like fill the silence, and I have to always talk. So what would I say if I didn't say it? there it is again by default. So I'm going to be more mindful of that, and we'll see how that works out. Anyway, got some friends on the show. I have a returning guest in Andrew Elmore, and he is slotted in the opening slot. I had originally wanted to put our new guest, a brand new to the show voice, on the front half, but I actively reference something I share in this first part with Andrew, so I couldn't put that out of order or, you know, save his part for another episode. So because of our conversation and because of what kind of shook out that way, Andrew will be in the first slot. After the break, we'll have our new guest, Rusty Shackles. He is an artist, and he'll introduce himself in his section. So really cool, really fun to chat with him, and really had a good time. I think it was also partly because of the episode content. We chose to return to the this or that questions, and Andrew decided to take on the challenge of, rather than just answering one, we were able to rapid fire quite a few, which caused me to have to ad lib and come up with some on the fly, and had some really fun answers there. So did a similar rapid fire for Rusty afterwards. So this is a really good way to just get some really quick on the spot decisions, picking between two tough choices, and just having some fun dialogue along the way. So appreciate you all for listening and coming back again for another week. Back to back. That is what I have. Other than that, check the show notes for links to everything I've got going on. The digital version of 32-bit library is available. The shop that I'm using is through Patreon. So you go to patreon.com/Darren Hupke. While you are there, you can click follow along for free, or check out some of the like articles and writings that I've kind of like already posted there. The bonus episodes for the single player podcast, which is like a spinoff of this that I post every Wednesday, are also there. It is something to continue to bring all of my writing and retro gaming content under one umbrella. I've said that a few times. I want to continue to say it. Just want to make sure that people know where the best place to find the stuff that I'm working on is going to be located at. So appreciate y'all for coming back and listening to another episode. Big thing, whatever podcast platform you're on, like a writing a review, like clicking the five stars if you enjoy it through the Apple Podcast app, if you're listening through like Spotify or something else, whatever their review algorithm is, it would be cool to kind of have some of those clicked in and see what that does. If you have friends who you know like video games or like retro games, just spreading the word helps. Realistically, like, I'm doing this to have fun for myself, but ultimately I love interacting and finding new people that sometimes turn into new guests as well. So if you know somebody, word of mouth is a really big thing I think that can help the show in a big way. So appreciate y'all. Again, rambled on here a lot, said 22 times probably, and I'm trying to actively not do that. Enjoy. See you next week. All right, so welcome back to another episode.
Thank you.
Long time no talk, Andrew.
Yep, it's been several seconds
since our last sentence.
Indeed.
Well, because you're on the show, you got to have the icebreaker. And so, did I ever ask you what is your... Yes, I did. Oh, okay, that's fine. I was going to say the favorite game with a color in the title.
Right. But yeah. But you shouted off like 17 games before you picked one. So it's like you weren't as stumbled by that one.
It's just like, whatever. Black is funny. Just do that.
Yeah. So how about this? What is your favorite time period or setting of a game to take place in?
Basically, really, when it comes right down to it, at the end of the day, I just want as many skeletons as possible. Whatever facilitates a large amount of skeletons, fine by me. Generally, I feel like that's leaning more in a, you know, dark fantasy direction or whatever. You know, when I first got to the boss fight in Dark Souls 2, at the end of the Huntsman's Copse, this just says skeleton lords in giant letters. I jumped out of my seat and started hooting and hollering at the combination of those two words.
Were you a fan of the animated series Skeleton Warriors in the 90s?
I might have missed that entirely, or don't remember it. One of the two.
Oh boy. Well, maybe you don't watch it then, because it might be too much for you.
No, I don't know, man. I like to crawl a dungeon, and whether that dungeon is a cave or a literal dungeon or a what's the word I'm looking for? When a ship has been abandoned for too long, derelict. There we go. Derelict space station. Whether the dungeon is a derelict space station or whatever, I like, I don't know, muted color palettes and calm, quiet hallways, stuff like, but then also on the other side of that, like, as I'm saying that, I'm thinking about playing Outrun 2 again as soon as we're done with this call. So like, what am I even talking about?
The skeleton passenger, and boom, the game writes itself. All right.
Put the Sonic R music in that Bloodborne cart.
Oh yeah, the Bloodborne cart game. Yeah, that's an official game now, though, right? Isn't they just took out the obvious references to Bloodborne and slapped in?
Yeah, I was trying to remember the name of the actual title now. I'm sorry, it's in my Steam library somewhere, but I think.
But it's a thing, though. Yeah. Cool. Well, we're going to ask, so I know I've already, this is kind of breaking the format of my show. We're supposed to ask one question, and maybe this will be one question depending on, how the answer goes, but, we're going to do a this or that. So I will give you two choices and you will, pick one. Yeah. You're going to pick that. Okay. Out of this or that, you've already started, you're picking that. All right. So that's the first choice. So I'll surprise you with one. And depending on your answer, maybe we'll sprinkle in a few other ones. So, I guess the easiest one to ask right out of the way is, like just the classic fanboy-y, Mario or Sonic choice. I mean, I guess you can just get that one out of the way.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
16-bit console.
I have a pretty strong dislike for both of them.
Oh boy.
Man, I don't know why I keep getting so negative on here. I've just never really clicked with Mario so much. I have tried very hard to like many a Mario game. It's never done much for me. It's kind of the same thing with Sonic, although I think his batting average is probably significantly lower.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess like if I gun to my head, Mario by a hair, but I'm not gonna fight for him, you know.
Okay.
I'll fight him. Right now. I'll do it.
I'll fight that overweight plumber. If it kills me.
Hand to hand, let's go.
All right. Okay, well then, Hang On or Outrun, since you mentioned Outrun already.
Outrun.
Outrun. Why Outrun? I mean, I know. We don't have to ask you that. You already talked about your love for Outrun.
That's fair.
So, unless you want to elaborate, I mean, is there a reason why Hang On?
I mean, they're kind of, in a reductive sense, them both being, you know, Sega Super Scalar racers from Yu Suzuki. It's kind of, they're kind of the same game a little bit. Just Outrun has a little bit more going on. It's a little bit more committed to its presentation and the mood that it's going for. It is very aggressively trying to simulate an emotion more than anything else. Whereas Hang On, I think, was a bit more novel, maybe. And I think a lot of its various home ports and stuff are interesting, maybe more so than Outrun's home ports, just like academically. But overall, I think just between, you know, normal Hang On and normal Outrun, I'm going to go Outrun, I think. There's a bit more meat on that bone.
Okay. What is the Die Hard arcade game called in Japan?
So Dynamite Deca?
Yeah. Okay. So Dynamite Deca or Fighting Force?
Ooh. Deca.
I'm trying to think of... I wanted a 3D beat 'em up, and like Fighting Force, unfortunately, was the only one that came to mind, and poor Fighting Force, of course, is not going to get picked by anybody. Man. They're dateless at the prom.
The real one to do to get the sickos to fight is you put Beatdown Fists of Vengeance and Final Fight Streetwise in a room, and then you throw a knife on the ground and leave.
Ugh.
And just see what happens.
Somebody's going to cut themselves because they're both sad.
I guess.
Okay.
Inside you were two wolves.
Well, let's see.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Beatdown for the record.
Oof. Beatdown over Streetwise. Streetwise has got at least a Final Fight name on it. You got a sad Hagar.
Was made by Kavya. It's got that Kavya combat, baby.
Okay. Okay.
It's also stupider, maybe? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Streetwise is pretty dumb. Sorry, go ahead. I keep interrupting you.
It is. I mean, it is. Streetwise is dumb. Nobody wanted that game to be made. They wanted a completely different game to be made instead, but still Final Fight. Analog stick and then D-pad, or D-pad and then analog stick? So we're talking like a PlayStation layout or an Xbox controller layout.
Oh, so like symmetrical or asymmetrical?
Yeah, oh, there you go. That's a better way to say that.
I'll go with the asymmetrical stick layout of the Xbox, I think, is generally better. I think I would go with that one because it's generally better for games that require dual sticks that aren't Katamari. And I think using the D-pad is a little bit more comfortable with the PlayStation-styled symmetrical stick layout, but I think it is still perfectly doable on the offset layout. I can still, you know, play some, you know, tight platformers or Danmaku or whatever with the D-pad on something in an Xbox layout. Like, that's still fine. So I think I would go with that, as opposed to, like, playing a first-person shooter on the PS2, all, like, three of them, where you just keep, like, bonking your thumbs into each other. They've solved that problem since, but anyway.
Yeah, they have more childbearing hips. There's a little bit more of a distance between them. I think that's
the way to put it.
The Donkey Konga or Taiko Drummaster?
Taiko no Tatsujin.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going Taiko.
I mean, that just makes more sense. I did have I had a good time with Donkey Konga, though.
No, for sure.
I think I
still have the controller that I bought back then. My kids still play with it daily, and it still works. So, shout out to the build quality on that thing, I guess.
You know, so there's certain moments where you have to clap rapidly, you know, for like bonus points and all that stuff. The trick is if you just lightly blow into the microphone. No, you lightly, and that just looks like you're hitting 1,000 inputs a second type of thing. So.
No, nice. Like the DS microphone. Like it's the Famicom. But yeah, we always just smacked it. Going into it makes more sense.
Yeah, instead of clapping, I did a little left or right hand tap for sure. Yeah, that definitely will do it. When I'm in tournament mode, like that's what I'm doing because I have participated in one Donkey Konga tournament in my life.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it was at a Game Crazy. So, you know, it was
even
good.
Even better.
Yeah. Really good.
Man.
Let's see. Let's do a couple more of these game things. Crazy. Then.
Speaking of chain link fences.
Yeah, that was their aesthetic for that, too. That was like,
their whole vibe.
So
it was just
strange.
Like factory we didn't put anything in,
A store within a store, because they were married to Hollywood Video, and slap some chain link
on
the wall.
Corrugated metal on the walls, and some chain link fences in the windows. And
some green gradient price tags, and boom. Yeah.
It's going to look exactly like the pawn shop next door for completely different reasons.
we'll do...
maybe that's just not where I live, I don't know.
I think it's a general fit. Tekken or Street Fighter?
Oh man. So here's the thing. I've never been able to get into fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
I like them from a distance. I think they're really cool. I have a great deal of respect for so much about them. And the dexterity of brain that you need, and the like mental muscles that are trained up for that sort of thing. I think people that are like deep into that scene are incredible. But I've never really had a strong tie with either of these. However, I do remember seeing Tekken 1 on the PlayStation when I was a very small child. And that was one of, it was like that and Ridge Racer were the two like mind blowing first time I saw 3D video games in a home kind of thing. And just Tekken 2 and 3 have such impeccable art direction and stuff. And while Street Fighter 2 is like top three most influential video games of all time, I think I would probably lean Tekken, not because it's a better game or anything like that, but because I don't feel like I have any kind of authority to speak to the quality of either franchise. And I just kind of like Namco's aesthetic a little more than Capcom's, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, maybe not a strong feeling, but that's where I'm at. Sure. I go Tekken, I suppose.
It's this or that, you know? So you got to pick this or that, and that's what it was.
Yep.
You picked this. I did. Sonic Spinball or Pokemon Pinball?
Pokemon Pinball, because I had that as a kid and enjoyed it. And Sonic Spinball was... It's kind of the first example I go to for, like, really harsh grating misuse of the Yamaha FM sound chip inside the Genesis. What is the option screen music or whatever that's just like extremely ice pick to your eardrum kind of thing. But yeah, just that game bums me out because of the way that it mangles the Genesis sound hardware. So Pokemon, I guess, in that case.
It's really just the poor, I mean, it's not really the game's fault. I mean, I guess it is the game's fault, but you know, yeah. Okay.
It's part of the game. Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's,
okay, so Wario Land or WarioWare?
Land is the 2D platformers that start on mobile, right? Not the treasure game on GameCube.
Yes, Super Mario Land 3 basically was Wario Land 1.
Right, okay, yes.
And then it kind of became its own thing. Wario Land Shake It and Smooth Moves. WarioWare Smooth Moves. Wario Land Shake It was a Wii one, but yeah, they've done a few.
Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Shake It and Smooth Moves are both on the Wii, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, one's Wear, one is Land or something. Yeah, as you can tell, I've clearly played a lot of Wario Land in my day. I played some. I don't know. They seem cool. That Virtual Boy game seems rad as heck. Mm-hmm. That seems like a real good 2D puzzle platformer. But I've just spent so much more time with WarioWare over the years. It's one of Nintendo's most Sega franchises, I think, in spirit. And early on, right before a big long car trip from Washington to Glacier, Montana, I bought a PSP, and my buddy who was going with us bought a DS, and he found a copy of WarioWare Touch in the parking lot of the mall on the way out, which seemed like a sign from the Lord above. And me, him, and my two sisters had more fun passing around his DS with WarioWare Touched for that like 90 year long car drive than the entire culmination of fun that I had with Need for Speed Most Wanted 510 on the PlayStation Portable. So I have a very deep association with one particular WarioWare game, and I've played most of the rest of them quite a bit. So yeah, I think I have an attachment to that series in a way that I don't necessarily have to Land, just because I don't have the experience with Land.
Sure. I'm also a WarioWare person, just from the early obsessions with some of those. They were just kind of caught me off guard and were highly entertaining and were like ridiculous, that were like, I want a full game out of a couple of these mini games here, or like, let me just play this without a time limit because I will continuously pick this nose. Not really that, but
I'm always continuously picking this nose.
Last one then, Ninja Gaiden or Shinobi?
Are we talking 2D or 3D for either of them?
Let's do both. Let's do 2D Ninja Gaiden Shinobi. Okay. And then...
All right. So 2D, I'm going Shinobi. I think Return of Shinobi, aka Super Shinobi, is a real good game. I think the, you know, obviously Yuzo Koshiro's soundtrack is legendary for a reason. I think the first game's also very good. It's a very good take on, or like expansion on Rolling Thunder, I think. The kind of back and forth between Sega and Namco and the arcades is a fun time there in the 80s. The big one for me is Shinobi 3 or Super Shinobi 2 on Genesis/Mega Drive. That is like, for me, that is one of the top tier like 2D action games just ever, period. I love Shinobi 3 a lot. And as for Ninja Gaiden, I played the first two on NES a whole lot as a kid. I've probably spent more time with those two than I have with all of Shinobi combined. Just never really had access to the third one, so I've only played that when goofing around in emulators or whatever. But overall, I think the 2D Shinobis are a little bit, I would personally put them on a tier above the 2D Ninja Gaidens. That all being said, when you move into 3D for Shinobi, we've got basically Shinobi on PS2, and I guess Nightshade, the follow-up. I think that has different names in different territories. I apologize. I don't remember them off the top of my head. And then I guess you could count the side-scrolling 3DS game, maybe? Like, that is a 2D game with, you know, 3D polygonal assets and stuff. I like those PS2 Shinobis quite a bit. However, usually when I'm playing them, I'm sitting there thinking, man, I could be playing Bujinkai right now. A thought that everyone has had, I'm sure. Everyone is always talking about how much they would rather be playing Bujinkai the Forsaken City on the PlayStation 2. the collaborative action, character action game from Gackt and Taito. You're like, no, it's Ninja Gaiden for 3D for sure. That era of Team Ninja. Obviously, nothing is quite to the heights of Stranger of Paradise. Nothing in the history of entertainment is quite at that level, of course. But that was mostly a joke. I do like Stranger of Paradise quite a bit, but I'm weird that way. But no, I mean, like Ninja Gaiden Black and Ninja Gaiden 2 alone are just some of the best action video games ever made, period. That's not a hot take, I don't think. Not a particularly uncommon or brave one either, but I think there's just a love, there's a skill ceiling to those games that is ridiculously high that I will never ever reach. And seeing people that are really, really good at those games really fully utilize all the ways that those games allow the player to express themselves through their verb sets and the contextual like chaining of those verb sets is just so intricate and impressive, whereas the 3D Shinobi games have a pretty high skill floor. They are not particularly forgiving, but also I just don't think they really ever, I mean, I've never beaten either of them because they are very difficult, but I don't think they ever really reach the heights, from what I've seen at least, that the 3D Ninja Gaiden games get you to very, very quickly.
Yeah, okay. I decided to look up the name of Nightshade and the other series, but then that got me down a rabbit hole where the developers for those games were Overworks, and Overworks made Skies of Arcadia on the Dreamcast as well, like prior.
Oh, weird, okay.
And yeah. And then the original PS2 Shinobi, not the original, but the 3D Shinobi on PS2 was originally beginning its development on Dreamcast by that same team. So literally that team baked and shipped Skies of Arcadia, and they start cranking out Shinobi is what they did. And
wow,
that's a weird step to take. But
also, I feel bad. I forgot to mention Shinobi Legions /X / whatever the Japanese name was called. I can picture the font in my head that like Art Deco Batman Gothic font on the art, and I cannot picture what it says. But anyway, the Saturn Shinobi game that used all the digitized like photos for all of the art. Mm. That game looks real crunchy. Plays real good though. Real good video game. Looks like absolute trash.
Shinobi Legions, known as Shinobi X in Europe, and Shin Shinobi Den in Japan.
Thank you.
I'm on right on Wikipedia for all the answers right away.
The best podcast.
Yeah. I was only there because of the Nightshade thing that led me into that Skies of Arcadia connection, which I think is really neat.
No, I'm just joking because I recorded a show with a friend the other day and I was effectively reading Wikipedia at him for like 2 hours. At some point, I was like, what are we doing?
That's how you do it. That's how the best casters potted up. All right. Well, that's all, Andrew. That ended up going a lot longer than I anticipated. But I think I'm going to take. No, that's okay. I'm going to take that format. I'm going to break down, you know, a little good string of 10 this or that. And I think for future episodes, I will just do it like rapid fire and just get through however many we can get through with all the guests. I like the idea of breaking that down. But that was on the fly, trying to think of some examples there. And maybe with some more planning, the next time you hear this question for the next guest, it'll be a little more entertaining. But I'm pretty sure that people will like this. That was fun.
Yeah, I like that's always a good format, I think, whether you rapid fire them or not. I think that's always a fun way to get a lot of cool conversational ideas out there.
Yeah. Again, we'll have your details in the show notes and the description, whatever's below your podcast platform you're listening on, for where you can find more of Andrew. And other than that, thank you for listening. And thank you, Andrew. We'll have you on again in the future for sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome to another episode of the show. I've got a new guest with me today. I'll have him introduce himself, and then actually, because it's your first episode, I'll let you introduce yourself first, and then I'll ask you the icebreaker question so I don't mix and match that. But Rusty, yeah, tell us a little bit about you and what you got going on.
Hey, everybody. I'm illustrator Rusty Shackles. You may have seen me on many book for Hardcore Gaming 101. I do a lot of the cover illustrations, a lot of the postcards for their Patreon. I kind of consider that my main gig, but my other ones I would say is I do the character art for a mobile game called 80s Mania Wrestling Returns, which is like a more of like a wrestling management simulator. Fire Pro fans are familiar with Fire Pro Promoter. It's more or less that, but with kind of like 80s and 90s wrestling. I am the artist for comedy website 1-900 Hot Dog. I do a lot of, well, I do whatever they tell me to. They just kind of pop up and say, hey, Rusty, do this. I'm like, yeah, sure. And they give me money. It's great. So
that's fun.
It's a great relationship. Yep.
1-900 Hot Dog. So that's a funny title as well.
Of course, video game fans probably recognize the name Sean Baby. But he and Robert Brockway are the brains behind the site. If you remember about 10 years ago when cracked.com was good, it's a lot of writers from that site. So it's, and again, too, an internet comedy writing sites is kind of a dead idea. But they're doing really good with it, and they've got a Patreon, the whole nine. So yeah, I recommend it to everybody. They do a free article every so often. You can see it on the site which ones are free.
Cool. Brad. All right. What about do you have like a personal site or any like social media things you wanted to share to have people kind of follow along if they want to?
Sure. Easiest one's probably Instagram, which is just artist Rusty Shackles, all one word. I believe my Blue Sky is Rusty Shackles, one word as well. my handle goes by Hot Blooded Tough Guy, Rusty Shackles, based off of the Akuniyo-kun series. But really, if you just Google Rusty Shackles art, I'm all over the place. But those are the easiest ways to find.
Yeah, rustyshackles.bsky.social. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Just pulled it up here.
Having to add like a .bsky.social.whatever is weird. So.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, then, yeah, welcome to the show. Hopefully we'll be able to have you on in the future as well and do some multiple episodes. These are always just kind of fun to answer these one-off questions. So before we get into the main question, the icebreaker that I'll ask you, this is one that I came up with just because it's on the brain, but here's the scenario. You're the newly elected mayor of Metro City. What does the Mad Gear do to try and blackmail you?
They could probably close every place that does Caesar salads. I just had a Caesar salad for dinner, and I love a Caesar salad. Like, in my head, a Caesar salad is like my 25% life restoration in a video game. So if that was in the trash, that's what I'm going to eat first. But yeah, really mess with my restaurants, mess with my Greek places. Like, that's going to be something I'm like, okay, that's not cool. Like, we'll work something out, Matt, here. Rolento, we can talk. Because you're going to take away my harissa chicken. I can't do that.
Okay. Okay, cool. Well, that's it. That's the warm-up. That's the icebreaker. And now we'll get into the main episode, the main question at hand. This is a newer one that I've also been doing that I do like a lot as well. But it's, you know, this or that. So I'll throw something out there. You kind of had a little bit of time to marinate on this and think about it already, but I'll ask you, and maybe I'll throw out like a bonus one or two just to kind of like surprise you maybe at the end of it, just in case. But yeah. For right now, this or that, you have to choose Shinobi or Ninja Gaiden.
So my heart says Ninja Gaiden, but I do think there's strong cases for Shinobi in a lot of instances. However, I think overall as a series, in my opinion, Ninja Gaiden is a stronger series just because it doesn't have as many games. It had no Game Gear games, it didn't. Shinobi did, but they're not great. It didn't have a rendered graphics one like Shinobi did on the Sega CD or the Saturn. That's that weird Mortal Kombat looking digitized graphics thing. But personally, Ninja Gaiden 2, the original version, is in my top three games of all time. I have played that game to death. I love it. It's just the raw, pure adrenaline rush of action. Like, I know, like, there's a lot of, like, my era is past and kids love the Dark Souls kind of games, but I don't feel you have enough tools in those games to really succeed. And if you're going to give me a challenge, let me be able to do Azuna drops, guillotine throws, all the abilities in the world. I don't feel like I'm being cheated. Like, I have access to everything, and it's my fault that I'm not winning. So Ninja Gaiden 2 does that perfectly. And Shinobi 3 would be up there, too, in that same regard. I actually had never finished that game until my son was born. Like, the we were in the hospital, and I had the PSP and the Sega Genesis collection. So I beat Shinobi 3 for the first time about a half hour before my kid came out. So there's some, like, I always kind of joke every year that, like, this is the day I beat Shinobi, and also my kid was born. Like,
that's cool.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's weird, like, because, like, you know, the arcade can go either way. Like, the arcade game is good for what it is in both cases. Ninja Gaiden, known for being difficult in the NES era. Shinobi is just kind of a good standard on that period. But I think I would actually give the edge to Shinobi when it comes to their spinoff games. Mm-hmm. Yaiba is garbage. I don't think I'm stepping on any toes when I say that. But Nightshade's pretty solid, I think. And really, the PlayStation 2 era Shinobi, I would really like to see that on PSN. While I do have a PS3 and I can still play it via that, I would like to see it on PS5 or PS4 where I could just play it again inside my house more.
Interesting. Yeah, we were talking about this with the last Andrew Elmore, who was on a previous episode, and just stumbling into like the Wikipedia hole of it. Overwork, I think, it was the company who developed it technically internally with Sega, but they had this. It was the same team essentially who was working on the Skies of Arcadia on Dreamcast. Yeah. Their next game was Shinobi, and I guess it had intended to be, was going to be a Dreamcast game before it moved development over to the PS2 release, which I just think is a super interesting, like, history for, like, development for that game.
Was he the Peace Walker hater? Was he the Peace Walker hater?
Yes. Yes.
That's the first episode I listened to, and I was like, man, I'm not sure if I like this or not, because this is such a bad tone. Peace Walker is my favorite in the series. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there for me, too. I mean, but, like, you know, like he shared it, he's not saying it's a bad game, he was just sharing yeah. it was his least favorite in the series. So sure. I love that the yeah, that rattled me because is a favorite of mine. I was like, no way.
Well, I think great. It's funny though too. I think the other thing with Ninja Gaiden that I think that like it's kind of like I kind of like would put a period on it because it was so the modern era was so tied in with Tamanobu Itagaki from the Dead or Alive yeah. series. Like the first two were really his vision, and the third one, the second version of Razor's Edge is not bad. It's just not great. So you kind of like, I think there was a little bit more of the hands of the author in Ninja Gaiden Black and mm-hmm. 2. But I do think it's funny, though, is that, excuse me, after, because Tomonobu Itagaki has his tendencies, shall we say. And I think it was funny, the second he left Tecmo, the first thing they did is they re-released Ninja Gaiden 2, but you could move the controller and control the girl's jibble boobs? On PlayStation 3, it was like, what? Like, I kind of thought we were past that with Itagaki gone, but they're yeah. like, no, we're going to be even creepier, dude. Don't even, like,
I'm just gonna lean into it. Yeah.
Yeah, come in a brown paper bag. You're going to be embarrassed to play this game.
Yeah. So. I was young and I rented the original Dead or Alive on PlayStation and I'm just looking for like another 3D fighter. Like, you know, I enjoyed quite a few and, going into the options menu and having like a slider for how much or how little like of a bounce there was, I was just yeah. like, all right, like. You could have invested a little bit of time into like balancing the game a little bit more or doing something else instead of this. But I mean, that series has its fans, of course. And, you know, I'm not.
I'm one of them. Like,
yeah.
I think the thing is, too, is like people kind of overlook, like, yes, it's fan servicing and all that. But none of the moves are actually sexualized. So it has that over King of Fighters and virtually every other fighting game. Like, there's nothing anybody does, like putting boobs in faces or, you know, cheeky actions like that whatsoever. The actual combat system of it is brilliant. But again, too, they had to sell it a certain way. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, a lot of like anime costume download kind of thing nowadays. So,
yep. Okay. Well, yeah, we have like a couple minutes, so I'm going to throw a couple others at you then, just for some rapid fire ones then. Just cause I think this might be up your alley. Let's see, Streets of Rage or Final Fight.
Overall, I'd have to say Streets of Rage, just for the higher batting average.
Mm-hmm.
Streets of Rage, because again, like we're you know, playing Final Fight 2 recently, I kind of like felt I was like, man, this is behind the times because Streets of Rage was out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like character and world wise, Final Fight. I think there's so much more personality there. I mean, every other Final Fight character ends up in a Capcom fighting game. That says a lot. Like, there, all those designs. Like, we just got Damned or Thrasher in Street Fighter VI.
Mm-hmm.
Poison, Rolento, Sodom, Hugo. All these characters have graduated from Final Fight. And Sega's just, and, you know, I don't think they really would put, like, Axel or Blaze in Virtua Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem like their kind of jam. So, but I think as a pure gameplay experience, Streets of Rage takes it. Musically, I think it's better, too. I think it's got, that's kind of unfair. Well, Final Fight is good. Has good music. Yuzo Koshiro, I mean, god tier. So
yeah, yep.
So that's that.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I mean, I have just such a love for Final Fight, but like just one to one, sure. But then once you start to look at just the series from there, like quality wise, like Streets of Rage 2 is just, yeah, yep.
Yeah.
All right, then let's go into Tekken versus Street Fighter.
I didn't want to answer this one. I saw that. I didn't want to answer it because I'm really conflicted right now. Overall, historically, it's always going to be Street Fighter. Street Fighter is, you know, it's my DNA. It's like, you know, I remember playing with the original one with the dumb pressure controller.
Mm-hmm.
I remember where I was, who I was with, and everything that happened when I first saw Champion Edition for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my first paycheck that I earned, the first time I'm on record with the IRS as being a wage earner, I bought the Super Nintendo and Street Fighter 2. Like, that's my legacy. I think Street Fighter Tekken 8 really is a more fun online experience to me. I think that the all the costume, all the extra stuff goes towards your characters and not an avatar for the most part. Or you're not kind of forced into the avatar role of Street Fighter 6. It was like Street Fighter 6 does. So I will say Street Fighter, with a caveat of Tekken, really is close just because of the playability currently. Street Fighter 6, once Terry comes out, all bets are off, though. It's hard to say.
Interesting. Yeah, the Street Fighter VI, I have yet to pick up Tekken 8. I feel like the first moment's on sale, like I'll have no excuse just to get it then. But the Avatar in Street Fighter VI, I've got like I remember my character having the Hagar like pixel art like t-shirt on and everything. I love that whole world tour mode and everything from VI.
I think you should honestly, Tekken 8 is super polished. Also, I'm a Nina player since Tekken 1. They really, really kind of balanced her and made her a lot smoother to play. So that's my girl. I've been playing with her this whole time. And I'm actually playing online for the first time, which I didn't. I didn't like Tekken 7, but Tekken 8 is really good. So.
Interesting. Cool. And last one, we'll say Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis.
I say
you're not having a good time with these. It's so good.
I say Peace Walker. That's my answer.
Okay.
No. No. I would probably say Super Nintendo. Because I had both back in the day. But if I was up late at night and I needed I need to kill some time to play a game, it was almost always something on the Super Nintendo. Super Mario World, NHL 94. That was a multi-console, but I think Sega tends to be, at that time, was more arcade-focused for quicker hits, and Super Nintendo was becoming more of a home-person console.
Yeah.
So, I could pick up, Super Punch-Out. God, I put so many hours into that. And I would just kill time trying to beat my time on that. They really had a knack for addictive games at that point, that you could play infinitely and not get tired of after 15 minutes.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that'll do it. I think I've put you on the spot there enough. And then for I meant to call it out, but for the Street Fighter Tekken question, just the listeners can't see it, but you're actively wearing a Street Fighter t-shirt. And in the background, I can see all of the Street Fighter collectibles all there. Yep. So.
Oh, yeah. Here's more.
Yeah. There you go.
It's a problem. I have some Tekken pops, but that's really about it.
Yeah. So. Those are cool. Yeah.
And some Tekken figures here and there, but no. Street Fighter is also more merchandisable, I think, too. So it's easier to buy stuff for.
100%. Yeah, I need to go actually and pick up that new Final Fight comic. That first issue came out a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah, Udon, yeah.
So more merchandise in the Street Fighter world. But all right, well, Rusty, thank you so much for joining the show and jumping on. Like I said, in the last one, I definitely want to have you back for future episodes for sure. So let's cook up some questions and I'll send them your way, and we'll hopefully hear from you in the future.
Excellent. Hey, thanks for having me on, Darren. I appreciate it.
No problem.